Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre in the UK. This podcast is a recording of the Bible message that is shared during the Sunday worship service.
You can now watch our service online through live stream at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and can also find our stories and videos on our Facebook page and YouTube channel.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen, we pray that God will speak to you.
May you know God's abundant blessing today.
These are certainly very historical days, aren't they, that we are living through, and none of us have experienced anything quite like it. Some may have experienced it before with the death of the previous monarch. One of the things that I'm finding very difficult to just get my head around still is singing the national anthem with different words. I know it's only tiny words, but I've heard it, I think, 4 times now, and I just can't. I still want to say Queen where it says King, and Her where it says Him. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands for those in the room that have actually sung the national anthem prior to this week with the words King and Him it before, because it might embarrass you a little bit. But it's a very long time since that last happened. National anthems are very interesting things, aren't they? They're all very different. Some of them tell of the splendour of their country. When I was in Australia for 3 years and learned the Australian national anthem, that talks about the splendour of the country. Australians, all let us rejoice, for we are young and free. We've golden soil and wealth for toil. Our home is girt by sea. Our land abounds in nature's gifts of beauty rich and rare. Let history's page at every stage advance Australia fair. It talks about the country. Others use history to inspire their citizens. Have any of you ever seen the translation of the Marseillaise, the French national anthem? Honestly, it's X-rated. You've got it, haven't you, for me, Jamie? This is the verse. Let us go, children of the fatherland. Our day of glory has arrived. Against us stands tyranny. The blood-stained flag is raised. Do you hear in the countryside the roar of these savage soldiers? They come right into our arms to cut the throats of your sons and your country. And then the chorus, to arms, citizens. Form up your battalions, let us march, that their impure blood should water our fields. Well, there's a nice little joyful ditty, isn't it, eh? Next time you hear that on the rugby union field, run a mile, run a mile. Some of them are never ending. Italy, Brazil, they go on and on and on. Some, like ours, show allegiance to the sovereign. And that's their purpose. Ours is almost prayer-like. It asks that God be our monarch's salvation and that he will possess qualities that are upright. When trying to think of something appropriate to say, Psalm 20 caught my mind, because actually Psalm 20, in biblical terms, was a national anthem. It was a royal psalm. It was to be sung or recited as the king was getting ready for battle. It was a song or a hymn written by David for himself. It was a song asking that it would protect, God would protect him and give him success. If you look at the structure of it, it may only be 9 little verses, but you get the first 5 verses. And really what would happen is the priest or somebody who was in charge of the service would speak the first few verses. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of God our Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. That would be said by one person. Then the whole of the armies or the whole of the congregation would join in at point 5 and say, may we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. So this was imploring the people to get behind the king. a prayer of protection for the king. And then in the next part, it's likely that the king himself would respond on behalf of the people. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we would declare the king on behalf of the people. We trust in the name of our Lord. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. And then there would be a rapturous ending altogether. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer when we call. So that was how it was done. That was how the psalm was formed. Chariots and horses were one of the most powerful weapons of ancient warfare. They were fast, they were mobile, they were lethal. They were difficult to defend against. You couldn't stand there easily. They could quickly intimidate. They could quickly overrun any kind of infantry. I've tried many times to put myself in the position of the Israelites as they escaped from Egypt. They didn't have any horses. They didn't have any chariots. They were slaves. They were freed. They walked out with their belongings. Can you imagine what it must have been like to get miles down the road, and in this long line, somebody at the back of the line looks round and sees in the distance this huge dust cloud. And they know exactly what it is. It's not a tornado. They know exactly what causes that kind of... That's horses and chariots. And the panic that would ensue and spread down the line. And that is exactly what happens if you read Exodus. They start to panic. They start to say to the Lord, wasn't it good enough for us to die in Egypt? Have you brought us here? But the Lord stepped in and the angels then went to the back. And as you know, Moses took over the parting of the Red Sea, etc. Charles Spurgeon, in his commentary on this Psalm 20, says this: chariots and horses make an imposing show, and with their rattling and dust and fine companions make so great a figure that vain man is much taken with them. Yet the discerning eye of faith sees more in the invisible God than in all of these. The whole purpose of singing this psalm was to ground them in hope. They wanted hope they were going to come out of this battle and win. John Calvin, in his commentary, he argues that actually Psalm 20 isn't just a psalm for battle. Psalm 20 can be applied to all of us. It's appropriate whenever God's people face difficulties. There is much that is hard in this world. Sophie in her testimony gave notice of that just in her young life, some of the difficulties. There are multiple stresses we all encounter. Today, we're wrestling with difficult economic times. We're wrestling with the desire to see justice, the desire to see peace in places where war is rife. We're struggling with personal struggles. And in these times, it's vital that we understand and remember where our hope and our strength is found. I offer you Psalm 20. Trust is one of those things that is easy to talk about and yet most difficult to exercise. Let me say that to you again. Trust is one of those things that is easy to talk about and yet the most difficult to exercise. Grateful for your choice of song during the offering, Leslie. That's one of my favourite songs. Reminds me of Lily Sampson's beautiful song, "As the varied way of life we journey." But it's always that second verse that gets to me. There are shadows on the earthly pathway, where at times uncertainly we tread. In perplexity we halt and linger, till again our faith is upward led. Struggles is something we know. And so this morning I offer you chariots and horses. If you remember nothing about what was said on the day you were made a soldier, remember chariots and horses. You might not remember what he spoke about, but if you remember chariots and horses, you'll get to the essence of this message. It's a simple illustration. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. We trust in the name of the Lord. Warren Wiersbe, the great biblical commentator, preacher, in one of his books, he says this: what are you trusting today? And I ask it of you, I ask it of me. What are you trusting today? Everybody trusts in something. We think mankind is divided into believers and unbelievers. And as far as our Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, that's true. But as far as life is concerned, that isn't true. Because everybody believes in something. Some people today are trusting in their wallet or their plastic cards. Some are trusting in their strength or expertise or experience. Everybody has faith in something. Well, we, like David, have times when our trust shines forth. We also have times when our trust falters. The Canadian theologian Dr. Chad Van Dixhorn says this: many things make us anxious. Many things make us anxious. Unbelief, as I can testify, despairs even before the trouble arrives. Surely faith can rejoice before the victory comes. And that's what we see here in Psalm 20. And what scares us at first before we go to our refuge is no longer a threat when we go to our true defense and recount who he is and rely on him. I love this little quote from him at the bottom. In times of difficulty, when we face our battles, most want help from the armory. The psalmist calls for help from the sanctuary. That's a great quote. You see, the things that we have faith in, the things that we trust, dictate and inspire what we do. It's as simple as that. What you have faith in will dictate and inspire what you do. That's a serious commitment you've just signed. It's not done lightly. And whilst it relates to your membership of this church, Sophie, more importantly, it embodies your relationship with God. And you know what? It will be trust that makes it meaningful. It will be trust that makes it meaningful. It will be trust that gives direction to your discipleship. It will be trust in 3 weeks' time on a Sunday morning when mum and dad are around to say, let's get in the car and go to the army, that will make you on a Sunday morning say, I need to find a place of worship this morning to be part of. It will be trust that makes you stand aside when things and attitudes are different in a university environment. It will be trust that gives you the encouragement when you're not so encouraged. Trust is so crucial. You know, Jesus would have been familiar with this psalm. He knew his Bible. Well, he knew his scripture, his Old Testament scripture, did Jesus. And I think he would have sought to apply that life to that psalm to himself as much as we're being encouraged to apply it to ourselves this morning. Because in Jesus, I see a man who shows us the depth of what to trust in the name of the Lord our God looks like. Because I think Jesus committed himself to trusting the name of the Lord to such a radical degree. I often think, as he went into Gethsemane with those three disciples and he asked them to be attentive, wouldn't he have loved to have given them Psalm 20? I need you to pray this for me just now. Pray it for me now, please. But what happened? They fell asleep. There was no praying of Psalm 20 for him. On that cross, Jesus was taunted. He saved others, but he can't save himself. Let this Christ come down from the cross. Surely it didn't have to be like that. He could have allowed the people to make him king by force. That's what they wanted to do. And yet, no matter how good their desire, no matter how good their intention, that would have been to trust in horses and chariots. For Jesus to have done that would have been to trust in horses and chariots. Even on the cross, there was an option. The devil reminded him of that in the temptations earlier in his ministry. He could have called on angels to save him. But instead, on the cross, Jesus trusted in the name of the Lord, and rather than use his own power to save himself, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He doesn't get an answer. So many sounds around that cross. Anything would have been good, but nothing. I think people looking at that thought, what a pitiful scene this is. But it wasn't. It wasn't a pitiful scene. Jesus wasn't hanging on that cross resigned to his fate. He was fighting. He was equipped with faith. And he was not going to put faith down no matter what. No matter how desperate the situation. No way. We're not going horses and chariots. We're trusting in the name of the Lord. For he knew that to do anything other than God's way would fail in the end. And so he holds on to belief, the hope, that those who trust in the name of the Lord will rise again. And you know what? That trust was not misplaced. And I think that's why this psalm is helpful to us. Chad Van Dixon also says in the article that I read as part of my studies and prep for this, he said this about this psalm. That's why it's a psalm that helps us to pray. Because it gives us confidence to pray, because it teaches us if that God heard our King, Jesus, he will hear all of those whose lives are bound up in his. All our hopes of a blessing, our declarations of faith, our prayers for salvation, all these are now ours, as much as they were David's and as much as they were Jesus's. And so this morning, I say to you, we can only trust in the character of God that's been revealed to us. And we are to trust the one who gathered the outcasts, took them out of Egypt and made them into a people. We are to trust in the God who cares for the alien, the widow and the poor. We are to trust in the God who is mighty in mercy and who rejoices in suffering. We are to trust in the one who's revealed what is good. And we are to trust that his way through difficult days leads to the abundant life. We are to trust that God does not abandon those who pattern their life after his. Those who place their hand in the Master's will not have their trust misplaced. Some trust in chariots. Some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Who are you trusting today? Simple question. Who are you trusting today? As we come to the end of our meeting, I want to give us a chance to respond. There's some lovely little choruses in the Salvation Army song, but they've been perhaps overlooked in recent years in ways that they maybe weren't in previous generations. But there's one that just consists of 8 words, and it allows us to just consider this. Are you a person who's trusting in your own horses and chariots, whatever they may be? Or are you trusting in the name of the Lord for all things? My wife is a great truster. She's far better than me. And on my days of difficulty, she will always remind me of Julian of Norwich. She'll say it very clearly, all will be well. all will be well. It's a statement of trust. Who are you trusting in today? The little chorus that I want us to use before we sing a boisterous closing song just simply says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. 8, 9 simple words. Who are you trusting today? I'm not asking you to trust me. I'm not asking you to trust in the army. I'm not asking you to trust in horses and chariots. I'm asking you to trust in him. Is it time to replace your trust and put your faith once again in him? Let's sing together this chorus. We'll sing it a couple of times. And as we do, if you want to come to our place of prayer, you come. Let's place our trust in him, not horses and chariots, in him. Thank you. You don't need these words anymore. Even if you didn't know them, you've learned them by now. Just close your eyes. Because this expression of trust isn't one that we're giving to each other. It's one that we're giving to the Lord God Almighty who's in the room. He's here. We're singing it to him, not each other. Say to you this morning, as I say to myself, time to come into the sanctuary, to receive the help in that sanctuary, and to look him in the eye spiritually and just say, today, Lord, in thee I put my trust. And just before I pray with us all together, with eyes closed, we're going to whisper this prayer. A prayer of trust together. One final time, together. To the sanctuary, we come to this place where we just meet you, where we can just know you, the great I am. We come to this place where we can share our joys with you, where we can rejoice and express our praise to you. But we also come to this place where we can share our distresses, where we can come at times when it's difficult. And Lord, we just simply come and say that we trust you in the same way that you answered the prayers of your son, that you answered the prayers of King David, that as we come to you, we can come to you knowing that you'll raise us up. So Lord, in these moments, that's our simple prayer. Give us victory. Give us victory. Anoint us afresh. And may we place our trust afresh in you this day. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.